Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the Bunker Kid, Rich Stambolian.
From the freezing bunker in Flushing, New York.
You are snowed in. We're snowed in.
It's only getting worse from here.
We actually were thinking about doing the show yesterday. We were talking. We're like, yeah, we'll play it by ear. Maybe it might not be that bad. And yes, it is. It's terrible out for people in New York. I was surprised because around two o'clock in the morning, there was like nothing on the ground. I was like, nothing's. And then 6 a.m., I woke up. It's like, holy crap. But right now, take a look. It is still snowing. Actually, it might have slowed down a little bit.
But, oh, no, I can see from where I'm sitting. I'm looking right out the window, and it's coming down like pretty effing bad.
Yeah,
right
so now. We decided that we're going to do a show over Skype. This is the first time Rich and I have done it. I do Skype shows almost every single day with no problems, and we cannot get Skype to work for Rich.
I'm the problem.
Maybe you are. Maybe it's me. Who knows? I may take the time and try to figure this out today. So, cool. But we do have a lot of pro wrestling to talk about, of course. Before we go on, I want to thank everybody, all our patrons, patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. Go there, fund us. We do all those bonus shows. We do Matt Men After Dark after big pay-per-views. We also, this is a great way for us to make some money doing this. And, you know, all the time that we spent trying to get this fixed on Skype, it was worth it because you guys fund us and you donate money and it keeps us going. Go to patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. You can fund us for as little as $1 per show. You know, you used to be able to fund us for less, and I'm not really happy that they changed their way that they do this, where some of you people were funding us 50 cents, which was great, and they changed it, and you guys got no more access to our stuff. So it is not on us. It is the company. They've decided, for whatever reason, I guess has to do with credit card processing, that they have to do at least a dollar. So go to patreon.com/MattMenPodcast. Go there, fund us $1 per show. And it keeps us going. So, Rich, what wrestling have you watched over the last couple of days?
I've watched all the wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this week was a good week. I was pretty hot on Raw. It was one of those moments where, like, that beginning was friggin' fantastic. And SmackDown was a good go-home show. How about you?
Raw was... you know what's crazy about Raw? I fell asleep during the main event. I did not make it for the main event, and I was actually surprised because I was reading the ratings, and the ratings plummeted for that main event. People did not really care to see Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns, and I really do attribute it to the fact that most people really have no idea who Samoa Joe is. A lot of the people, and I always say, the people who watch Raw are not people who are watching the rest of wrestling.
I agree with that.
The ones that watch everything, you know, think about it this way. How many casual fans that are they are used to putting on Raw on a Monday night, just put it on, they let it sit there. So,
well,
go ahead.
I think a big issue with Monday especially was it was the day after the Super Bowl. And like you said, those fair weather fans probably partied a little too hard Sunday and couldn't make it to that main event.
That makes a lot of sense.
I was guilty of it too. I knocked out like around 10:30. And just like I couldn't keep my eyes open, I was exhausted. And I caught up, like, but I DVR it, you know.
Yeah.
SmackDown, however, so concise. I agreed with your statement the other day, where I think our wives are in the same boat, where they tolerate SmackDown more because it's an immediate 2-hour burst from 8 to 10, and that's it. And there's like no fat on the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even SmackDown, you know, SmackDown the ratings did well. They started off SmackDown really strong. With the with that scramble, that mixed match, what is it? It was a 6-man, right? They started off really, really strong with everybody in the ring. I felt like it was kind of placed at the wrong point. It was done to obviously grab your attention, so that first hour is strong, but it took away from the ending. By the way, that Randy Orton John Cena match, really good.
Yeah, no, it was a great match, but again, you know, like their weird billing of like the first time you're ever gonna see John Cena versus Randy Orton SmackDown Live, you know, that kind of irritated me because it's like, what kind of move are they trying to pull, you know, or like, yo, we've seen this match a million times, and you want to know something even weirder? I'm not sure how old everybody is in the chat room, but my wife showed me a story.
Everybody's 104. Everybody's 140 years old.
Our demo is just like 80 plus.
Yeah.
So we, my wife goes to grad school. My wife's in her 30s, and everybody in her school is like in their early 20s. So okay. This kind of threw me for a loop the other day, where she mentioned the Royal Rumble to somebody, and one of her classmates said, "Oh, who won?" And then she said, "Randy Orton." And then that person, who is 21, said, "Oh my God, he was my favorite when I was a little kid."
That's so funny.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, that is really bizarre when you hear stuff like that. I get a lot of the Jeff Hardys. Like, almost everybody in their 20s tells me Jeff Hardy was their favorite wrestler of all time. And I never got it, man. I never, ever, ever got the Jeff Hardy thing.
Really?
Never got it. Too scrawny for me. Like, I like beefcakes.
This, you know, like the really quick bushwhacker thing that he did when he came out?
Yeah.
This? No, none of those? Yeah.
No, I never got it, man. Didn't do it for me. So, by the way, that match was very good. But they made... So here's a mistake here. They told us, guaranteed, that this will not be the main event of WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I this is what I was saying. And I was reading, you know, all these posts, people, comments and people making. Nobody made that comment that they just gave away the fact that John Cena will lose on Sunday.
Right.
They just said it. I mean, there it was. They're not going to do the WrestleMania match on TV a month before WrestleMania.
Right. Right.
You know, makes no sense to do that. You don't give away that match. So obviously, that is not the match. So now the question is, who wins the title at Elimination Chamber? Who's going to be the new champion?
Honestly, for me, it's going to be between Bray Wyatt and AJ Styles. The Bray Wyatt thing makes sense because it's going to set up that Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt eventual like turmoil. Luke Harper's going to play into it. They're setting these guys up for something big. AJ Styles makes sense too, because I think people want to see him versus Randy Orton.
I would love to see that match. I would actually also love to see Bray as a champion, but the problem with this is I don't want him to be a transitional champion. I think when right. Bray wins that title, he needs to hold on to that belt, and there's so much you could do with him. You know, you talk about the belt, the person elevates the title doesn't elevate the person. I think Bray is a good example of the title being elevated and him being elevated at the same time. You know, I could just see the creepy promos where he's dragging the title with him. Like, he's not wearing it, he's just dragging it on the floor with him. Do some creepy stuff with the belt. Paint like a picture of the Hobgoblin.
I think he'd put it in like a glass case.
In a glass case, just walking around? Yeah.
Like a glass dome, you know?
What if, what if the title is Sister Abigail?
Explain that to me. Book that.
Book that. So he's been talking about Sister Abigail, Sister Abigail. Sister Abigail is the title, and now he has it back. Sister Abigail has come back. That's what he calls the title. And the power is in the title. It's like the urn.
It's like how Tupac
talks about the gun like a girlfriend.
Okay.
That's how
I'm speaking
of
Tupac, I do think Bray Wyatt will show up with another hologram at some point.
Bray Wyatt? He's gonna show up as who?
Yeah. And with like a hologram. He's gonna blind whoever he's facing with like a Sister Abigail hologram.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope that Bray hangs on to that title and they make it a competitive thing where he doesn't just drop the title to Randy in a couple days. Or we may see, Baron Corbin could win it, but I don't want to see that.
That
as
is
main
true.
Listen, do you want to see that as the main event of WrestleMania?
No, I don't. But again, we're going to get one opening title match and one closing title match. I feel like for some reason, I know why they love Baron Corbin, because he's gigantic. You know, he's a big meat man. But to put the title on him so soon, no. But in the course of the next year, I think that dude's going to get that belt.
The title. The plan is after Mania, right? That's currently the plan for that.
Yeah,
they're going to start pushing him after Mania. So listen, there's a lot going on. I'm more fascinated on the Raw, on the SmackDown side than the Raw side. I really, I'm not. I was never negative about the whole Goldberg and Lesnar thing, but I'm kind of bored with it.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that's cool. You're going to get Bill Goldberg. He's probably winning the title at Fastlane.
Yeah.
So Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar for the WWE Universal Championship. It is a bizarre fan fiction 2K16 option that some 14-year-old kid did. You know, like,
I'm going to give you all the credit that you called this last year, and I said you were completely.
Everybody said I was nuts. Everybody said I was nuts that he was going to win the title and he's going to fight and he's back and he's going to be in the main event of wrestling. Everybody thought I'm crazy, but I was absolutely right on this. There was another thing I was absolutely right about, and people gave me so much shit about. Well, I called Eva Marie a couple months ago that she was done, and she's apparently out the door. And there was another thing that I had mentioned a while back and people thought I was crazy. I can't remember what it was. I had it before the show. I can't remember. Listen, first of all, you know how many times I'm also wrong? You know how much wrong information I also get that I don't really put out there because it's nutty? And you got to pick and choose which one you're saying. You know, sometimes you get some really crappy information and it sounds great, but it's never going to happen. Other times, options change. Like, you look at Seth Rollins right now. You know, this is definitely somebody's asking if Paige is done. Paige is not done. Paige is coming back in a couple months.
Well, they're making a movie about her.
They're making a movie about her. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was the let's make this better. But Paige also wants to do MMA. That's the other thing. She's training for MMA.
Really?
I don't know why.
With Del Rio?
I don't know why. Oh, yeah, here it is. Here's what people were telling me. I called Nikki Bella that she's gone.
Okay.
I had heard she was having a lot of problems. She was really hurt. Her neck surgery did not really go as planned. Mm-hmm. And it was just reported that she has severe numbness on one side of her body. And after Mania, she's going to go. I originally said that she probably might be retiring, but she's going to be like a specialty, like a part-timer. She'll come and do the big events and do some shows.
You know, like an attraction?
Yeah, she'll be an attraction. She'll be like, oh my God, it's Nikki Bella. She's returned. I don't know.
I don't think anybody will have that reaction.
Nobody? So that John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Miz and Maurice is going to happen.
That's a reality at this point.
That is a reality. And think about that. That is a WrestleMania reality. I wouldn't mind that match anywhere else.
Yep.
Anywhere else, except for here.
I also think secretly John Cena is more banged up than the WWE is letting us know.
Yeah, but you know, here's the other part, okay? So, and we'll go to the chat room on this. Guys, if you're watching live anywhere, you're watching live on Facebook or listening to the show. A lot of us are snowed in today. A lot of people in the chat room, which is great. You can go to gfqlive.tv, change your nickname to whatever you want it to be, and join the conversation. About 50 people in there right now talking it up. All I'm seeing is things scrolling up and down. So I'm trying to do my best in, you know, getting what you guys are saying. It's a hot tub in here.
Yeah.
So let's go down this card for Elimination Chamber. Do you have it in front of you or you need me to pull it up?
I can pull that up in 1 second.
I'll pull it up. You don't worry.
I'm pretty excited, to be honest.
Are you coming over?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Let's see. If I could pull this up, it'll be great.
I got it.
Okay.
All right. So this Sunday.
Sunday.
At nauseam on SmackDown.
Oh, man. We get it.
It drove me a little crazy. All right. So Luke Harper versus Randy Orton. I think this is going to be a very surprisingly excellent match.
I like what they're doing with him. I really like Luke.
Yeah, Luke Harper on the microphone. I got his butter.
Dude, he was great, right? Isn't this amazing? This is a guy that they did not let talk for how many years? 2 years now? He didn't say a word. But, you know, that look's not going to get over for him. Remember that. That look's not going to get over.
So who are you taking in that?
Luke versus Randy? I'm picking Randy with a... You know what? I'm going to pick Randy with an interruption. Maybe the other guy shows up, the other Wyatt.
Right. Eric Rowan?
Eric Rowan shows up.
Okay. All right.
And then you could have, you know, you kind of build him into this. I don't know. I'm going to go with Randy.
Yeah, I'm going to take Randy too, because I feel like that's just the easy win since it's Mania season.
Yeah.
Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus Dolph Ziggler. Which kind of makes sense.
What? So who's the babyface here?
I think Apollo Crews and Kalisto versus, I think Dolph's now just a racist, right? Can we assume that?
He's
can
beating up the black dude and the Mexican dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, could be.
You know, he is a Trump supporter. So
he is, yeah.
This could be like maybe a little weird like backstage thing.
Yeah, Vince wants to bring reality into the era. pal, great. Get the black guy and the Spanish guy. Here's the thing. When you book a handicap match like this, normally it's the babyface that's the one, you know, the one. And then you have the two heels beating up on him, and he gets his comeuppance, and then he beats them. What are they going to do? Just beat the shit out of Dolphin and call it a day? You can't have the two babyfaces look like a total jabroni, you know, two jabronis, right. And then have Dolph Ziggler win.
I don't know what they're doing. You know what? This just further... like backs up my point of like me not caring about Dolph Ziggler at all.
Yeah, you know what? Again, and I never agreed with you on this, and I never agreed with you on this, but I think he's a tremendous, tremendous talent. And it's so sad because if they had done properly with him, like if they booked him properly from day one, and they didn't have this weird mentality where he does too much and he doesn't do what we want him to do, and they just let him work. He was so hot at one point, like 2011.
Oh, yeah.
This guy, 2012, 2011, this guy was really, really working his way up, and they just killed it.
Yep.
You know, they came up with this weird thing where he's injury prone and all this stuff, and they killed it. I have no invested interest in him, and almost every single time I get really into him, and something happens and I don't even care anymore.
Dolph Ziggler is like the is like black licorice to me, you know, where it's gross and you kind of get disappointed, or he's like the shitty toy that you didn't want for Christmas, where you're like, oh, here, look what we got you, and you open the thing and you're like, Dolph Ziggler, womp womp. That's how I see him on television. Again, tremendous athlete, needs a good worker. It's just zero for me. Him and Sheamus, the same level of zero connection,
yeah.
You know, with me specifically. I just do not care. I see them as just a static TV screen. They don't exist to me.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch versus Mickie James in a grudge match this Sunday.
Becky Lynch versus Mickie James. This may be a really good match.
I think it's going to be excellent.
Yeah. You know what was really funny? That promo that they were cutting, all the girls were cutting on the mic.
Mm-hmm.
I got very OCD about it because they should have turned up the de-esser on their processing on that mic, because for whatever reason, all the girls had really sharp S's. And it was like, first Mickie James was doing it. I'm like, oh man, you know, she's cutting a good promo, but I can't get past this. It's too much. And then Alexa Bliss started doing it, and her S's were really sharp. And even when Becky did it, and Becky sounds like a dude half the time, her S's were really sharp too. So it was so bad. And her promo, she likes to stretch things out when Mickey's cutting those promos. It's a really good promo, but it's too much on every word.
Yeah, it's, she's kind of old school, new school. It's kind of weird,
because
she's kind of cutting those like classic heel wrestling promos.
Yeah.
It's not as fast paced as everybody else, but I think it's a good thing. She's kind of by default showing everybody like to slow down a little bit, you know?
Well, when I saw the promo, when she cut the promo, I knew she had a little bit more liberty to do whatever she wanted in it, but she also had to interject a lot of like the writing stuff that they wanted her to do. So it was kind of half and half. I sometimes there are people that I feel that they should just be let, they should just let them do whatever they're doing. You know, here are your bullet points, go out there and do this. It doesn't work when you use words that you know are not associated to this person.
Right.
Right? You know who it worked for when you write storyline like that? Damian Sandow, right? You could have him say any word you want, because his gimmick is that he's this well-educated Ivy League. He's better than everybody. So it doesn't sound as silly when he says something like that. But when you have Mickie James using words that you know is not in her everyday vocabulary, kind of sounds weird.
Yeah. That promo was really good too. I did like that on Tuesday.
The segment,
like the double contract signing was cool.
Why did Naomi? Why did she come out in her clothes? Like, why was she the only one not in street clothes?
I like her outfit, man. She looks like she's from another planet. I love it. The whole thing with her and Alexa's kind of cool, and that's all right. So, well, first of all, Becky Lynch versus Mickey. I think Becky Lynch is gonna get the win.
Yeah.
Then the next match you have is for the women's championship with Alexa Bliss versus Naomi. I kind of feel like this one's a little bit up in the air because it seems that it's not like they're playing hot potato with the belt, yeah. But I think for some reason with SmackDown, they want everybody to kind of have like an equal amount of time with the belt. And I feel like Naomi may take it. First title win.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then drop it before Mania.
Drop it to who? Back to Alexa?
Back to Alexa. Yeah. And then you'll have Alexa versus Becky at Mania.
Yeah.
For like the blow off.
You know, I like Naomi because she really, really tries. She tries really hard and she's grown as a performer. You know, a lot of smoke and mirrors, you know, her entrance is cool and she comes out doing that dance and she slides and then she gets in a ring and you kind of, I look forward to that crazy entrance every week.
Same here. And you know what? She was a Funkadactyl.
She was a Funkadactyl. Yeah. Amazing.
She came out with in front of a giant cartoon dinosaur man. And now look, she's involved in like a championship program with Alexa Bliss. You know?
I really wanted them with Brodus Clay. I wanted him to hatch from an egg.
Yes.
I wanted that to be the angle. Like, I really thought he should have just hatched from an egg and come out like a dinosaur with his hands like this.
The best part of that whole Brodus Clay thing. The best part about that whole Brodus Clay thing was his debut as the Funkasaurus. Uh-huh. And he turned to the audience and went, "What? You're expecting something different?" Because everybody thought he was going to come out as like a monster heel. But he just came out as a fun-loving dinosaur.
Yeah.
A fun-loving... He dressed like a rapper. Not a rapper. He just danced a bunch. And not very well, either.
Yeah.
So...
He dressed like a rapper, but was really a dinosaur?
Yeah, it was really a dinosaur pretending to be a rapper. But couldn't rap. So he just kind of oddly danced around a little bit.
Oh, man. So bad. So bad. We also have American Alpha versus Heath Slater and Rhino versus Breezango. Versus the Usos, versus the Ascension, versus the Vaudevillains in a tag team turmoil match.
Boy.
So many meats in the ring.
A lot of meats.
You know, I'm actually shocked how little American Alpha has done since winning the title.
Yeah, dude.
They've done nothing. They've done nothing with these guys. And these are two people that should be profiled every single week on TV as an amazing tag team. You know, these are the guys. And you know what? You want to bring in Kurt Angle? You know, obviously Kurt's going to do something on TV.
Right.
Obviously. I don't know if it's going to wrestle. I don't know what the update is with his physical and what kind of condition he's in. But this is a great opportunity to do that little nod on TV. You know, you have them do ankle locks. You have them do some of the Angle's moves. And maybe Kurt comes out one day and does something with him.
I think you can go a lot of ways with that, and Kurt's return will probably have something to do with American Alpha just because it's so simple and it writes itself. Or maybe Shelton Benjamin finally gets cleared and Angle shows up with Haas and Benjamin.
Love it. I would love it.
It's and the two teams.
Yeah, manages them, and you have this feud. You say we were American Alpha before you guys. You guys are pretty much ripping off our gimmick.
And then Angle switches and he becomes the manager of American Alpha.
By the way, I just want to let you know, in our chat room right now, we got 53 people in there hanging out, talking. This is absolutely great. We're snowed in here in New York. And everybody's changing their nickname to Treehouse something. So we have Treehouse Vince, Treehouse Cornette, Treehouse Image in the chat room.
Yeah.
So everybody's now Treehouse something, which is amazing.
Yes.
I would like them to do more with American Alpha. By the way, the Usos, what is... Which one is getting really heavy?
I think that's Jay.
Is that Jay Uso?
Yeah,
I don't know if it's a clothing, but he's getting big, this dude.
It's that Kishi curse, man.
Yeah, he's getting big. I don't know, that winter weight he put on. Did something. I don't know what it is. I would like to see American Alpha keep the title. I would actually like to see the Ascension kind of get a little bit of a push. People like to shit on them a lot, but I would like to see some of these teams kind of get more of an elevation. I think the Vaudevillains was a great example of bringing up a team that worked really well in NXT, did not go over. Ascension also. Ascension worked great in NXT, did not go over.
Well, Ascension were completely over in NXT. Like I still have faith in those guys, but to me, I feel like within that company, the Ascension and possibly the Vaudevillains are kind of hanging on by a little bit of a thread. And I think the Ascension has more of a potential to kind of blow up and really be those monster heels, like to live their gimmick, you know? And they kind of got a little, I think maybe backstage politics got in the way of their quote unquote actual Ascension. The Vaudevillains, probably some more backstage stuff from a lot of reports, you know, like Gotch mouthed off to the wrong person at some point, you know, and they kind of got a little bit of heat for that. But also, I think it's one of those things where, you know, they jumped the gun with these two teams and the Vaudevillains. I believe I said this last week. Why concentrate on the Vaudevillains when you have a Jack Gallagher, you know, who is amazing?
Okay, so did you watch 205 Live?
I did not. I missed it this week.
Okay. Holy crap. First of all, that crowd was great. That Seattle crowd for SmackDown was so hot. Mm-hmm. And we should touch on the fact that Daniel Bryan is probably the most over former wrestler on TV. I mean, he's getting like Austin-like pops when Austin was like the GM.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's actually so sad when you see how liked and over this guy is and what they could have done with him if he didn't get hurt. I mean, it's really one of those... One of those, and you want to talk about bad ratings, you know, there are a lot of these what ifs, and we like playing that. Like, what if Bret Hart didn't go? What if Shawn Michaels didn't get hurt? Yeah. You know, you have all these, what if, you know, what if Steve Austin, you know, never returned from the pile driver from Owen? Because if it was by today's standards, he probably would have never returned.
Right.
You know, Daniel Bryan is one of those what ifs. What if he didn't get hurt? And what would those storylines have been like for him right now? He would have been feuding with AJ Styles, people like Kevin Owens, people like Seth Rollins. You would have had Finn Balor in him. You would have had Samoa Joe in him. You would have had these great opportunities and great matches. And you know what? I really think that is part of the reason why they're not doing so well in the ratings. You know, Raw had the Monday Night Raw on Monday was the fifth lowest rated show for a non-holiday or football day.
Wow.
That bad. And you have Bill Goldberg on there.
Yeah, that was a good segment. But do you really want, as a fan, do you want to see Bill Goldberg versus Kevin Owens in a squash match? I hope it's not a squash match, but it probably will be.
So if I'm doing this right, I don't think it's going to be a squash. I think what'll happen, you know what might happen? They may do like the banana slip thing, where he bumps into Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho comes out and somehow costs him the title. You know, do some funky finish like that. And it was quick. And Kevin Owens can't believe it. He kind of, you know, he lost the title. And here's, you know, Goldberg holding it up. And then Brock comes out and they do a face-to-face fade out.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Kevin Owens will have that title going into WrestleMania. I think this is just kind of to troll the fans a little bit.
Maybe.
You know, because, you know, and I do agree with what Brian said a couple of weeks ago. I think your main event, regardless of belt or not, for WrestleMania this year will be Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg in the blow off. And I think Goldberg walks away the winner.
You think Goldberg keeps the title?
No. I'm saying regardless of if it's for the title or versus Brock Lesnar, I think he walks away WrestleMania as like the hero, and that's it. Because he's going that's it. That's the end cap of his
career.
And then
career. He goes, and then he goes, and you know what? You bring him back every now and then. Now you've left the door open where he could show up every now and then and do the whole "who's next" spear somebody, and you call it a day. You don't have to. I mean, they've done a very good job of protecting him, and obviously the crowd is really into him. They may, by the way, they may have Bill Goldberg lose on Sunday. He may, Sunday, at a Fastlane. He could possibly lose. He gets screwed by Brock Lesnar, and he loses in a minute 20.
Right. Okay. See, that's fun, and that's another, it sets up a lot of stuff, because I do want to see Bill Goldberg versus Kevin Owens, but I don't want to see squash. I want to see Brock Lesnar versus Kevin Owens, but I don't want to see a squash. You know, Owens is an interesting place with that belt because apart from the part timers, he's the top of the food chain. You know.
Yeah. Let's look at the main event. I'm sorry. Let's get back to this elimination chamber. Nikki Bella versus Natalya. Nikki's winding down in her career, obviously, right now. I think she'll probably get this win over Natty. I don't know. This may be like her big competitive last match. They may do a great match. I mean, they're both, I have to say, Nikki Bella's, you know, worked really hard at becoming a pretty decent wrestler.
Yes, I agree with you. But when she retires and makes those one-off appearances, would those appearances excite you?
Well, when you all of a sudden you hear you can look but you can't touch,
yeah.
What do?
I'll pop for the song because it's a funny joke.
Would you pop for Brie Mode?
Yes.
When she shows up?
Always.
What a terrible. Yeah, I like Brie a lot more as a human being.
Yeah.
But she's terrible as a wrestler. She's not good.
I think Natalya's going to take this.
Natty's taking it? Okay. Yeah. And then we got the main event, Elimination Chamber match, which we are getting a new chamber.
Yes.
The reason why we're getting a new chamber is not because they want to update it, because they can't fit this thing in most buildings.
The old one,
because you need to hang this thing, and they don't. The modern buildings really don't have the support to hang these things, because there's mostly like a TV or something over there. John Cena versus AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose versus The Miz versus Baron Corbin versus Bray Wyatt in an Elimination Chamber match. Very excited for this match. Obviously, John Cena is not winning this match. Or he might. I'm just predicting he's not going to win it. So we have AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose. I don't think Dean Ambrose is going to win this. So it's down to AJ Styles, The Miz, Baron Corbin, and Bray. The two that I think it would come down to is AJ Styles and Bray Wyatt.
So you're saying Cena's getting eliminated like immediately?
No. I don't think they're going to do that. They did that year with Edge. Remember when he was like immediately eliminated and everybody was shocked? I don't think they're going to do that. I don't know who it's going to be down to the final two, but Bray would make the most sense.
Okay.
And Styles already is kind of positioned for this feud with Shane.
Mm-hmm.
The backup plan was going to be Shane and Hunter if Seth Rollins was not going to come back. He's coming back for Mania. So that's out the window. I really, 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 for my own personal selfish needs, really don't want to see AJ Styles versus Shane.
Okay.
Not into it.
Why?
Listen, it could be a tremendous match.
It will be.
We saw Shane and Kurt have this ridiculously good match, but you know they went through panes of glass and they did all these crazy things. They're not going to really do that. But if anybody's going to have a great match with Shane, it's AJ Styles.
Do you think that's a wasted match for AJ Styles?
Did I say Shane Douglas? People are writing Shane Douglas. Okay. Is it a wasted match? I don't know. I hope not. You know, I don't have an invested interest in this. I think AJ Styles should be in the title picture.
How do you see the order of the Elimination Chamber?
The order would be Dean eliminate. It's going to be Dean and Miz. Dean eliminates Miz. Yeah, to start.
I agree with that.
Baron Corbin's going to come in close to last, and he's going to clean house. He may be the one that pins. So you got to build the angles, right? So Baron's match, Baron will eliminate Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
You're going to start that feud. The Miz will get eliminated by John Cena, so that feud is set up. Or Miz will eliminate Cena.
Okay.
So those two are going together. I'm going to do Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin together and AJ Styles and Bray Wyatt.
Okay. And then who's the final two?
Bray and... You know what? The final two, I'm changing it up. It's going to be Bray and Cena.
Okay.
I'm going to do final two, Bray and Cena. So Miz gets eliminated by Cena, gets pinned by Cena. Baron pins Dean Ambrose, Style pins Corbin, Bray pins Cena.
I think my ending, I think AJ is going to pin Cena and Bray Wyatt is going to pin AJ.
Okay. The reason why I wouldn't do that. You want the crowd to be excited for Bray winning this title.
Yeah.
So I would be, the crowd, if it's down to Cena and Bray, and now it's for the title, they're getting 100% behind Bray.
Yeah.
Right? They want that. They want that excitement. That arena is going to pop if Bray, when Bray wins that title. I think a lot of people genuinely like this guy and the character, and I think it would work if it's down to him and Cena, because now you still don't know, right? Like, you don't know if Cena's going to pin him.
That's part of it, but also, like, do you want to keep the heat on Bray Wyatt regardless of if the crowd likes him? You know?
Yeah. I would keep it on.
Because if he pins, let's say, if Wyatt pins AJ and takes it, then that is tremendous heat for Bray Wyatt, which will set up that Randy Orton babyface turn at some point. Well,
is Randy going to be the face?
I think this is going to lead to the eventual, like, ha ha ha, I'm the Snake Man. I played you for months. I broke up your family. Okay. You know, and like... and then, like, he comes out the victor, you know? So I don't know what they're doing with this. It's kind of cool that we don't know where any of this is going. And SmackDown does a really good job of leveling that playing field, saying, you know what? These are your main eventers. Miz, Baron Corbin, Bray Wyatt, AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, John Cena. That's a solid group of main eventers. Yeah. You know? And Randy Orton as well. And you know what? Luke Harper is kind of hovering around that main event scene. He was a former IC champ. For like 2 weeks or a week. And I think you have a good little playpen going forward into WrestleMania season. But again, you may just end up with weird stuff happening, like that Cena tag team match at Mania, or AJ versus Shane, Dean versus Miz in a ladder match for the belt, probably, you know, at WrestleMania. And then Baron Corbin thrown in there somehow. So it's kind of interesting because they can really go anywhere with that main event. You know, Bray Wyatt could feud with anybody in that match. Dean, everybody in that match could feud with every other person in that match. And John Cena's feuded with all of them.
So if we're going to start patching together the Mania card, right, for SmackDown, it looks like it's going to be Bray and Randy. I don't know where this leaves Luke. Probably going to be Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin, Miz and Cena and Nikki and Maryse in that weird match. Yeah. AJ and Shane. So that is your top. That's your top positioning.
Yeah.
I see Baron beats Dean for the IC title at Mania.
Okay.
Obviously Cena and Nikki beat, you know, the Miz and Maryse. The only one. And so now we're after Mania season. What happens? This is very interesting to me. Who comes up? Where do they go? Who are you bringing up?
Okay, so you're thinking Nakamura ends up on SmackDown.
I would hope so.
Okay,
but really, who's he going? Who would he? He has more opponents on the Raw side. They need to reposition this thing, because this top, you know, they've elevated. You have Bray, you have Randy, you got AJ, you got Cena in that top category right now on SmackDown.
Yeah,
and there's only so many times you could have them wrestle each other.
Okay.
AJ and Bray may be a really good storyline, but you can't have two heels. AJ and Randy is going to be a good story, you know, good feud going. I don't know beyond that what they're going to do. I'm a little worried because the roster is very small. And if you look at the Raw side, look at this. You got Brock Lesnar, you got Bill Goldberg, you got Kevin Owens, you got Seth Rollins, you got Triple H, you got Roman Reigns, Chris Jericho. These are all people in the top spot, you know, some going for titles, some not. Finn Balor.
Did you say Joe?
Samoa Joe. So you have like 8-9 people in that top category that you can move around. You don't really have that on SmackDown. You have 3 or 4.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the SmackDown, they're working very well with that limited roster. And you need that one more call-up, I think. If they do call up Nakamura, put him on SmackDown because he'll have more dynamic feuds. I don't think he's going to get lost in the shuffle on Raw, but Raw has its own thing going with the leaders of that show. You know, Rollins, Balor, when he comes back, Hunter is still kind of part of the show. Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, Samoa Joe. That's like 7-8 dudes that you can just revolve pretty much perpetually for the next 2 years around. SmackDown, the beauty of the six guys in the Elimination Chamber plus Randy Orton and Luke Harper is that you can, they can feud with individually together. You have great stories with them. And if Nakamura gets called up, he can feud with all those guys. You have the built-in story with AJ.
Yeah.
They had a wonderful match a couple of years ago at Wrestle Kingdom. You have Nakamura versus John Cena. John Cena saying, like, hey, you're the new guy that they're talking about. I'm John Cena. I'm the old guy that they still talk about. My time is now. You have, like, a Baron Corbin who was in NXT. You have Bray Wyatt. Imagine a Bray Wyatt versus Nakamura. The entrances alone should sell out an arena.
Well, who, when Nakamura shows up, if he goes to SmackDown, the first person I think he's feuding with is John Cena.
Yeah. Or AJ or Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's very interesting. I mean, this side is very, you could very easily kind of move pieces on this side. Raw, on the other hand, is a disaster when you look at who's in the top, who's in the picture, who's in the title picture. You got Roman Reigns is sitting in limbo. I thought it was very interesting that they did not mention on Raw that you had two Samoans going up against each other.
Name Joe.
They didn't name Joe. Yeah, you had, literally had two Samoans named Joe fighting each other. They did not mention it. And it seems like they are going forward with this heel turn for Roman Reigns.
Which is great because it sets up that Undertaker match, which is probably going to be one of the big attractions of WrestleMania.
Oh my God, I forgot you have Taker on that side too now.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So Raw is good. Raw is stacked, bro. Like for a 3-hour show, plus they have the Cruisers, which is mind blowing.
What if we get Nakamura and Lesnar? That's another option. Nakamura and Lesnar.
Would love to see that. Nakamura versus everybody. Just blanket that out there. And you know what? They're setting up something tremendous with that dude probably, and it's going to happen after WrestleMania.
Yeah, it has to. It has to happen after WrestleMania. Very interesting stuff. I'm really curious to see what goes on with this. I did not watch NXT.
I missed NXT.
It this week. Yeah. 205 Live, Jack Gallagher is probably the most over guy there. Mm-hmm. He's unbelievable. Neville is great too, and Jack Gallagher are great. I'm just going down the card here, a couple news items. Lucha Underground coming to Netflix next week.
Fantastic. Season one and two.
Going to
Beautiful.
Netflix, which I'm very excited about. That, you know what? That may be the boost that they need. Lucha Underground has really, really taken a step back as far as buzz goes. They really haven't grown as beyond that. Bobby Lashley said that he's going to be attending Kurt Angle's Hall of Fame induction.
Very cool. Vince is going to take one look at him and we be like, "I remember. I remember you." take your shirt off.
I need you back. Take your shirt off. Let me see. And then the Page movie's coming out, which is weird.
I think that's pretty interesting because
why her? Why that family, you know?
Why not, man? It's a good story, you know, like her dad was like a robber.
Is that true? Was that it?
He was like a gangster who reformed his family, and they're all wrestlers. He was a cat burglar.
Is that true?
And the cat. Oh yeah, hey. yeah, I think so. And then you know she grew up. She had a hard life.
She's wacky. Let's talk about Minoru Suzuki a little bit.
Let's talk about Minoru Suzuki.
Holy crap! You know, did you see that match?
No, I didn't.
Him and Okada, my God, great match. Great match last week. There's also a big New Japan show on Friday. But Minoru Suzuki, really, New Japan booking, man, that when they want you to be important, they know how to make you important.
Well, he took a step back for a while, and just the fact that, like, you know, Suzuki Gunn's back is friggin' fantastic.
Lance Archer is hurt. I believe they were supposed to win the tag titles, the IWGP Tag Team Championships, but they he's hurt right now. Davey, by the way, Davey Boy Smith Jr., holy crap, this guy got big.
Yeah?
He's starting to look like his dad.
I haven't seen him. I've been a little out of the loop with the NJPW.
Oh, man, he looks great.
Yeah.
So good.
Guy's going to come back.
He's going to come back. Dude, this guy's big. I You know what? He's a guy. He could come back, be placed in a main event positioning. He looks like a star now. He was looking so defeated before.
And
that's the NJPW stuff. Very excited by Minoru Suzuki. If you have not seen it, go there. People want us to talk about Matt Riddle. It's amazing how this guy has grown as a wrestler in the last year.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I don't think he's coming to WWE, though, currently, right now.
No, not yet.
I don't see it happening.
Well, he took on Shibata. Was it for Shibata had the
Rev Pro
championship, yeah, and he fought Matt Riddle for it. That's good for both of them. I think Shibata's gonna be the top dog in NJPW in the next couple of years.
You know what's interesting about Shibata? They don't really position him in that spot. I don't know why. I don't know what the issue is. Mm-hmm. Why he's not getting put in that position? But Shibata can be a major player in that main event picture in New Japan.
Yeah, well, they're doing a good job of learning from their lessons with the booking, especially when guys get so hot and the WWE steals them,
yeah,
you know, or they have other outside interests or what have you. I think because of the way they're booking now going forward, they're kind of not leveling the playing field, but they're kind of saying like, okay, who on our roster is going to be reliable in the next couple of years? Who could we use? Who could we elevate? Shibata's going to get elevated. Kushida's going to get elevated big time. I could see
Kushida's going to move up. Yeah, he's going to move up from the light heavyweight division. He has to.
Kushida or Shibata are winning the G1 this year.
You think so?
I think so, yeah.
Who would win the G1? Let me think. If we're looking at the G1 now, it may be because you're right, it may be Kushida, or if Kushida is in the G1, but definitely Shibata is a major contender. I think Shibata needs to get that push right now in Japan.
Yeah.
But now you have all the Suzuki Gun guys too. Now Takumi Shinoku's back.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot believe I was watching a Takumi Shinoku match in 2017.
He's also only 32.
Yeah, Taka's been 32 for the last 10 years. No, he's young though. He's like 42 years old, right? You had a very early career. Relatively. Someone said Toru Yano wins the G1 this year. I do not want to see Toru Yano win at all. All right,
why not?
I don't like him. I don't like his DVD
comedy?
Gimmick. No, I don't like his comedy. Don't care. Don't care. His humor does nothing for me. Let's wrap it up. What do you say?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Are we going out? Are we going out drinking now?
Yeah, we're going out drinking. I'll shovel my way to your place right now.
Oh my God. It is still coming down.
Did you shovel today?
I have yet to shovel. No, I have yet to. I'm waiting for it to kind of slow down. I'm not going to go out there and do it. I just have the snow blower. I just blow it all away into my neighbor's yard. That's the way it
is. Nice.
Yeah. Guys, go to website gfqnetwork.com. Subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. If you are a supporter of the show, thank you. If you are not, go to patreon.com/mattmenpodcast. You can fund the show there. $48 a show we're making right now. It's not bad. We could go up more though.
Beautiful.
We need some more.
Beautiful.
We got a shovel, guys. Go there. You can follow us on Twitter, Mad Men Podcast on Twitter, at Andrew Zarian on Twitter, BTC Rich on Twitter, and we will see you all next week. Bye bye for now.